listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. We love helping more people travel better, and that begins with you. If you're enjoying the show, please share it with a friend, and be sure to drop us a line and let us know who we should have on for future episodes and what questions we can help you answer. You can email me, Ed, at pizzainmotion.com, and you can find us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, by searching for Miles to Go. So it took 43 episodes, but we finally had a left-hand turn that I wasn't expecting, but it was great. You guys have heard Richard Kerr here on the podcast before of Award Travel 101 and the Critical Points column at The Points Guy. He's one of my favorite guests, a super smart points and miles wizard with a healthy, healthy dose of sarcasm. Here's a guy that can go toe-to-toe with me on puns and sarcasm, and I love it. Richard and I set out to record a quick segment about wrapping up 2018 and being prepared for 2019, and then almost 30 minutes later, we stopped talking. We probably could have gone on for another hour. At any rate, I decided to make that our complete show this week. I'll still wrap up with the final two pennies, but today is a single guest, and a heck of a fun one. One last thing before we jump into the show. We've got a new feature this week where you can submit your questions via voicemail to the show. So if you go to our website, miles2go.boardingarea.com, you'll see an orange tab on the right-hand side that says Send Voicemail. You can record a voicemail for us, and we'll take those questions and we'll find an expert to answer them on the air for you. And we may also use that recording of you asking the question on the air. So love to have you submit those. You can make sure that we get your question exactly right and we'll find just the right person to answer it. With all that, I really hope you enjoy my sit down with Richard. I know I enjoyed recording. While we're taking a quick break from the show, I wanted to let you know about our monthly Amazon gift card giveaway. Each month, we're going to give a $50 Amazon gift card to one of our mailing list subscribers. As long as you stay subscribed, you'll have a chance to win each time we have a giveaway. We'll always send you the best travel info, and we'll never sell your email address to anyone. You can subscribe right on our homepage, miles2go.boardingarea.com. Back on the Miles to Go podcast, and as we get deeper into December, it's time to start thinking about next year. You've got some things to button up for 2018, you've got some things to get ready for in 2019, and in the ever-changing landscape of the points and miles world, I thought the perfect person to bring on was Richard Kerr, who you can find weekly on The Points Guy writing his Critical Points column, which from time to time is just a wee bit controversial, but I love it, and I love having him back on the podcast. He's always a fun guest. Richard, how are you doing?
Let me tell you what, it's been an interesting few days, but dadgummit, I'm ready for this weekend. It's Friday here today, and everything is good.
Everything is good. In the throes of the holiday season, how ready do you feel for 2019?
Well, from a professional, personal family life, I am extremely excited about 2019. From a loyalty program, credit card, hotel, and airline standpoint, I'm a wee little bit nervous.
I like to say that I feel like a cat in a room full of rocking chairs.
Oh, yeah. I grew up with cats. I don't like dogs. I know that just turned off half your listeners, but I can relate to that idiom.
Yeah, you know, there's been a few disturbing things that have been leaking out over the past few weeks. But as folks get ready for 2019 and what we can definitely say is the unknown, where things don't usually get better, let's walk through some things that people should be getting ready for and making sure that they're doing.
Yeah, I would say the first thing is, what are you going to do, if anything, with your hotel loyalty? I think a chaotic conclusion is the best way to describe the Marriott-SPG merger with the lovely data breach now popping into the news, and it seems like the leadership doesn't understand exactly how, I won't say poor, but not well this merger has gone, with Arne Sorensen believing that members' frustration is just a little noise around the edges, which is my favorite quote I continue to use because it's just personification of how much they don't get it. So what are you going to do? What do you, is this, you know, if you're an SPG Marriott loyalist, has this been enough to make you look elsewhere? Are you going to stick with Hyatt, whose footprint you hope gets larger with the small luxury hotels and Two Roads Hospitality? Are these Two Roads Hospitality properties going to come in full into the world of Hyatt? Are they going to kind of do this bastardized system they have with small luxury hotels that I'm not a fan of? I really hope not. Or are you going to get a Capital One Venture card and say, you know what, I'm getting 20% off every hotel stay with the hotels.com rewards and 10x points on the venture? I can't fault any of those, but it's something you need to plan for. You need to look at those planned travels and decide, what the heck am I going to do here with all of this going on?
Yeah, I think the world of hotel loyalty has crystallized into two camps, at least for me. I think if you're a hardcore business traveler, there are strong reasons to continue to pursue status the old-fashioned way by being loyal to a chain. And if you're not a hardcore business traveler, I think a lot of the credit cards in the market have made it easier to have a status light version, which is usually enough. Or as you mentioned with the Capital One path, there are some appealing paths for folks that don't necessarily need to be loyal. That make them way more of a free agent. And I think I wouldn't say it's quite as simple as that, but I think it's clearer than ever the folks that should and should not be chasing hotel loyalty status.
No, I'm complete agreement with you there. If you have a small business or significant credit card spend, you can even get top tier status, you know, with plenty of these cards that are out there now. My question to hotels is, what are they doing to earn my loyalty? You know, I haven't seen too much 2018, and I certainly don't see too much on the horizon 2019 that's going to get me excited about any one of these. And as we've talked before here on the podcast, love Hyatt hotels. I'm actually at 52 nights right now, 3 short, with no stays planned in December. Obviously, if it's only 3 stays, I'm going to get it done to get globalist for another year. But 2019 is going to be a different story for me. I love Hyatt, but man, I just hadn't seen too much where they are really earning my loyalty back with these changes. Maybe the Two Roads Hospitality announcement will be nice. Still not really a game changer, but I haven't decided what I'm going to do for 2019. What about you? Do you know what your plan is?
Well, you started out your tips on hotel loyalty with the Marriott SPG merger, and I'll be honest, I wasn't 100% sure, and I felt like I was going to be giving SPG Marriott a pretty significant chunk of business next year. But I get to near towards the end of the year, I'm doing my checklist, and I just typed an email. I had 100 nights last year, so I've had an ambassador with SPG for a few years, and I was just deciding, am I going to make that run for 100 nights again this year? And when I looked at the math of it, I noticed that I still had some stays that hadn't posted, so I put together an email, and by the time I was done, I think I had 7 hotel stays that haven't posted, and I still have a discrepancy from the merger in my counts. And so I'm sitting there looking at it going, well, I'm undoubtedly close enough to 100 nights. I am going to make that run for it. But I'm looking at, I have stays dating back to August that still haven't posted to my account. And like you, I wonder, how much of my continued loyalty should go to Marriott when, from a technological standpoint, almost nothing is posted correctly for me in 4 months, and I've had to go chase them each time for these things. And so, 4 months later, I'm still chasing a stay back in August. So the third or fourth time I followed up on, at what point do I just give up? And I'm fortunate enough to have lifetime Hyatt globalist status. So I think in 2019, as I said in a post recently, I think that my decision to score the last 6 or 7 nights that I need for SPG ambassador the old fashioned way, I believe will be the last hotel loyalty decision I ever make. I have lifetime status with Hyatt. I have lifetime status with Marriott. I don't intend to pursue lifetime status with Hilton. So I think at this point I'm a free agent.
So let me ask you this. 2 questions. First is, one day I hope to be as cool as you and have Hyatt lifetime globalist status.
you're already cooler than me, but
I don't have that much money. When you're a lifetime globalist, when you get to the desk, is there like a donut waiting for you, or do they call you Mr. Ed not to be confused with the horse. But
so I have absolutely had hotels have donuts waiting for me. If you could believe that, I've had more than
one. Oh, I believe that. You're another level pizza man.
So I am donutist when it comes to the Hyatt world. But I'll tell you, at least from where I sit, I think the big reason why I would, if I was going to pick a chain to be loyal to at a big number with my business travel, the reason why I think it might be Hyatt is because I think they were very smart in how they structured Lifetime Globalist. You know, for me, if I qualify the old fashioned way by getting 55 nights as a requalifying globalist, they double all the benefits. So I get double the free nights and I get double the diamond or sorry, globalist suite upgrade certificates. So I have more of those than I can use. I'm getting 8 a year. Whereas most chains, you take Marriott as an example, once you've received lifetime status, you don't actually get anything extra by achieving it the old fashioned way. So I really like that Hyatt put that in place and said, look, like if you're a lifetime and you actually do give us the 55 nights too, we're just going to double everything.
It's pretty good. I am never going to earn enough base points with Hyatt to get lifetime globalist. Hey, my second question, with your hesitations for Marriott and SPG next year, what if instead of the message that Mr. Sorensen put out about noise around the edges and how things have gone okay, what if Marriott a month ago had come out and said in an email, in a video message and said, look, everybody, we did not live up to expectations for this merger. It's incredibly complex. These are huge systems and databases. This is hard. We didn't get it right. We are sorry. So here's what we're going to do. Everybody gets a Category 1 to 4 certificate. We have doubled our efforts to make this happen. Everybody gets 20,000 points. In 2019, we're going to get this right. And then he gives like biweekly updates. What if they had done that instead of the message that they put out? Would that have any effect on you?
It absolutely would have, and it's an interesting question and one that I hadn't contemplated. I would say, you know, I go back to the days of when Jeff Seidel ran Hyatt, when it was called Hyatt Gold Passport, and, you know, I was loyal to the program because of how they were loyal to me, and it wasn't transactional. It wasn't necessarily the points I received on any one stay. So I do think that the communication, the acknowledgement of the stuff would probably even be enough for me. I don't know that I need a free night. I certainly wouldn't toss it out of bed for eating crackers. So, I mean, if they sent it my way, I'd certainly find a way to use it. But I think at this point, I think the acknowledgement that the relationship is frayed is important. And it hasn't been done. And in the inverse, it's, you know, if I want the points for my stay from 4 months ago, I now have to dig up a 4 month old, bill to get the right amount of points. And I just, you know, like, I don't have time for that. I don't want to sound petty because the points are valuable, but I mean, I have a wife and two kids and a job and a blog and, you know, oddly enough, a podcast, and, you know, going to dig up a folio from 4 months ago so I can get some points doesn't have the right flavor. And so I think just the acknowledgement that, hey, everything hasn't gone right, we're still struggling, work, you know, stick with us, we're going to work through this, would be a big thing for me in the Marriott SPG world. But you know, we just haven't seen that level of communication from them.
This goes back to one of my columns a few weeks ago about, you know, give it to me straight, be honest. It's something that brands are getting wrong time and time again right now. If you have that kind of transparency where it makes it seem like, hey, we're all regular guys and gals every day and talk to me like it, and, you know, don't insult my intelligence by announcing enhancements or updated program benefits, it goes a long way. And I really hope that some brands start to get it right in 2019 and move back to normal speak, I guess I'll call it.
Yeah, transparency is always a beautiful thing, you know, to know exactly where a program thinks things are. I think I'm sure that Marriott didn't think it would take this long to get the ship moving in the right direction. And yet, as you say, if they had been giving frequent updates on what was going on, I think there are a number of folks that would be in a better spot, as opposed to, you know, as you mentioned with the recent data breach, the you know, there's a poll up in the TPG lounge about the breach that I was working on, and a lot of the comments are from folks who just, you know, hey, is this the last straw? Is this the walk away, if you will, because of the lack of communication around it. And, you know, maybe this isn't the straw, maybe things get better, but I think at some point you do push the loyalty relationship far enough and it just, those bands don't stretch anymore and they snap.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see what happens in 2019, and I still haven't made, you know, my decision. I can't believe I'm not qualify a globalist this year based on how many nights. I just really made me realize how many nights I've spent at other chains. And it's because price, availability, or convenience is more important to me than always being at a Hyatt, which I never thought would be the case.
Well, I think, you know, I've said this in the past, and I think that there's a kinetic energy when it comes to loyalty status, especially when you talk about folks like us who are fiercely loyal to a chain. And, you know, if not given friction, we'll continue down that path for quite some time. But once you put friction in front of us, we're going to go make the next decision and then continue down that path, because now we have kinetic energy in a different direction. And I think it's hard to make constant course corrections because of all the other things that we're looking at on a daily basis. So, you know, you've found what's comfortable for you for loyalty right now, and there's nothing that's really compelling you to make a different decision.
Nope. Very true. Which carries on, you know, to the other aspects of 2019 with what card am I going to put daily spend on? What airline am I going to try and fly? And there's a lot going on, you know, in these spaces as well.
Yeah, so what card are you going to focus on in 2019?
Well, I have a mantra of there's no such thing as too many ultimate rewards. So when in doubt, when a wife doesn't know what card to use, she knows the Chase Freedom Unlimited can always come out, and that's always going to make me happy. So, you know, as long as they don't do anything to that program, or they don't, you know, these rumors swirling for, I guess, over a year now about no longer being able to transfer ultimate rewards between card products or between family members, you know, that would just be a real boneheaded move if Chase did that. So as long as that doesn't change, you know, ultimate rewards are going to be what I'm looking for. It's going to be nice to have some Amex in the back pocket with the everyday preferred card, you know, the 50% bonus it gives for 30 transactions a month. And I'm keeping a close eye on Citi thank you points. I think they're trying hard, but I think they're in a little bit of identity crisis. So it'll be interesting to see if they add any more transfer partners or what they, you know, decide to do with the program in 2019.
Yeah, it's interesting you say Amex every day, because I'm now back in the Amex family, or at least in the Amex charge card family for the first time in a long time. And I did put the American Express gold card in my wallet, mostly because I just wanted something pink in there. And I started to use it.
Doesn't surprise me.
I didn't think it would. I started to use it more and more. And I do, like, I still obviously use my ultimate rewards cards quite a bit. But I plan on using the Hyatt Visa significantly this year, because I thought I would need some stay credits because I'd have hotel stay elsewhere. But, you know, folding back to that Marriott decision, if I decide I'm not going to go out of my way to stay at a Marriott, and I do put more stays with Hyatt, then I probably do focus on that American Express gold card, because I do have a healthy ultimate rewards balance. I don't think you could have too many of them. You're absolutely right. But in the world where we want to be diversified, you know, I'm just way behind on having enough membership rewards. So I think the American Express gold card is likely a card that stays near the top of my wallet in 2019.
It is really interesting to see American Express kind of catch on, I would say, in the last 9 months, that we need to do something or Chase is going to run away from us. I think Citi's trying to do the same thing, you know, with the new Prestige launch, but I'm not sure they got that right. And they, you know, the Citi Premier, is there a sign-up bonus? Is there not a sign-up bonus? Goes up and down. Points are only worth 1.25 cents each. Anyways, it's just interesting to see the continued battle between the loyalty space and now Capital One jumping in there and saying, hey, look, we got a transferable program as well. And if you got small business spend, by God, we're going to give you 200,000 of these points. I like it. All this is great for consumers as long as the economy continues to do what it's doing, minus the last couple of days, right? So to see these banks compete like this, to see them catch on to what is working for Chase, I think Barclays is coming out with some deals in 2019 as they continue to fight for space as well. It's great. So I hope the economy continues to do what it is doing. And that the competition ramps up, and it's going to lead to another really profitable year in 2019, I think, for reward program enthusiasts, if we're calling ourselves that now.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, though, about the the points programs, less so maybe than specifically a hotel or an airline. Cap One is a very interesting foray in there, especially with the number of transferable partners, even though I do think that maybe the Jane and Joe Public won't see quite as much value because there isn't an American, a Delta, or United mixed in there, so they might be a little hesitant. Certainly from our standpoint, we see great value in those transfer partners because we know how to use a lot of those international airlines. But when you think about all of those partners, the flexible currencies are really the place to be right now, and there's so much competition that I can't see another strategy where focusing on a single source program, an affinity card tied to Hilton or American or Delta, being the best card to have as the top of your wallet in 2019.
No, that's absolutely true. It leads me to kind of something I've been thinking about the last few days. Our job as, if you want to call us experts, really it's just massive dorks and nerds.
Yeah, it's more. Expert sounds way, way overreaching.
Our job is more important than ever. With the complexity of these things, with the dynamic landscape, with new transfer programs like Capital One, which is open to an entire, people are fiercely loyal to Capital One for years. I get 2x miles on every purchase. No way you don't understand that. This all leads to what you and I do is more important than ever, to go and equip and educate modern travelers with all of this stuff going on. It's kind of motivating going into 2019. It was brought on yesterday with the news of Delta introducing basic economy award tickets. My job is to go and educate the public on why this is bad and to overwhelmingly reject this. We have to get this word out to the public to go tell Delta this is a bad idea and let's not do it. And they happen to be testing it only to Charles and South Carolina. Well, guess what? My parents live in Charles and South Carolina. I fly Delta all the time there. This is awful. This is terrible. So it affects me immediately. And what you and I do is really motivating me to start the year off right, to get the public educated, to make smart, informed decisions with all these choices.
Yeah, I think the Delta basic economy thing has the potential to be a game changer in that, with the restrictions on award tickets, that's going to hurt a lot of regular everyday travelers quite a bit. And from a business standpoint, as a business guy, look, I get it. Why would you have award tickets as a business be more flexible than paid tickets, push back against the customer there and try and pick up some money. But I do think it continues to fracture that relationship of loyalty versus transactional. And I think people catch on to that stuff sooner or later. I'm obviously one that hopes the experiment fails, but 2019 could be the year of basic economy award tickets, which would require an immense amount of change in how we think about loyalty currencies.
The one thing yesterday, so I stayed fairly loyal to Delta. I really enjoy the in-flight product. I've become, they're my favorite domestic carrier to fly. So Platinum Medallion, one of the biggest benefits is free redeposits on award tickets, no cancellation fee. I can speculatively book. When they confirmed yesterday that even Platinum and Diamond Medallions aren't going to be able to do that with basic economy award tickets, that means everything I did this year, all the money I spent and all the time I spent on a professional level telling good things to my audience about SkyMiles was just shoved back at me and said, well, if you want that, you just have to pay us a little bit more now. Okay, I got it. Hey, message received. It's going to go into my decision of who I'm flying in 2019. If Delta's $20 more, well, then maybe I'll just go fly the other carrier because it doesn't mean anything what I did this year. And I know you're going to roll that out, but I'm going to go tell the public why this is bad and we're going to reject this. No, Delta, you're not getting away with it. Not without a fight.
Well, yeah, I think the problem with it is overall, I get the need for businesses to continue to progress and figure out how to be more profitable. Don't get me wrong, but I think Delta continues to push the envelope, with what that became a standard award and then the elimination of award chart and stuff like that. It's not that any one of those decisions is a decision that I decry as a business person, but as a customer, I say, there are some folks that will look up and say, oh, well, the change to basic economy awards on some tickets, on some routes, that's not necessarily a big deal compared to where we are today. And I think you could probably explain it that way. But I think when you if you zoom out a bit and look at the landscape and look at where we've come from, when, you know, 12,500 miles used to buy you a one-way ticket somewhere in the continental United States, and now in some cases it might cost you 30,000 for that same economy seat one way. When you add that now you don't have the ability to cancel it, you've now made it that much harder for customers to get value out of the loyalty points that they've saved up. And I think to your comment of what you did in 2018, if this rolls out in a big way in 2019, then you put a lot of effort into a set of benefits that you thought you were going to get to use in 2019, and Delta didn't honor that. I don't love the change. I'd feel better about it if they said, this is something we're going to do, and for you Platinums, we're going to exempt you for 12 months. I don't love it, but I think they have at least given you ample notification that a benefit that you earned is going to be expiring if you choose to renew with them again next year.
Delta is a very interesting company from, in my experience, a PR perspective and a decision-making. It's kind of like the bulldozer's coming through. You get out of the way or you get behind us, and this is what we're doing. And don't question us. Don't give us any feedback. We're doing it. It's very stern when you speak with Delta corporate communications and see the decisions that they make, especially being here in Atlanta, where it's kind of the talk of the town amongst all the business travelers and the people in this community. I hope they soften just a little bit. But I understand the bottom line is all that matters. And if the public doesn't know any difference, the public's not educated and they think they're just going to save a few thousand miles by doing it, then they're going to book it. And the experiment's going to move forward, which means we got to go out there and educate, man. We need 5 million downloads of this podcast by next week. I want to make it happen.
I'm going to work hard on it, but I don't know if we're going to hit that goal. But I do wonder, too, as we talk about 2019, and not to get too macro, but at some point, the economy is going to take a downturn. It just is. I mean, it's a cyclical thing. And I do wonder if the airline – I wonder two things. Will the airlines roll back changes like this that make it harder for their best customers to use their miles and get value out of them? And if they do, will it increase loyalty? Will we change our behavior back when they dangle the carrot?
You know, not too many people look forward to a recession, but I think in a lot of areas, a course correction is always needed, both on the macro level and at an individual company level. And I hope somebody in these companies is looking forward to that and saying, what are we going to be willing to walk back, change, make more consumer friendly when times are not this good? I've never worked in a big corporate company like that. In the Navy, we certainly couldn't look more than 6 months in the future. So I hope that's the case. I certainly don't hope for a recession, but I think a course correction is needed. And I hope there's a plan for one when things start to turn.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think there is. I would certainly hope for it as well. But in the whole philosophy of managing to the quarter with public companies, my gut tells me that if they start to see an erosion of premium bookings, they'll try to start improving at the margins. I don't necessarily know that there'll be a plan to step through. You know, here's steps 1 through 10 of how we're going to win back our premium customers. But I think as American has seen over the past, 5 years or so with the merger, once you lose that advantage where they really, I wouldn't say they were head and shoulders above the competition, because I think Delta did a decent job with corporate contracts, but American was head and shoulders above United when it came to large corporate contracts, premium travel between the coasts, stuff like that. And, largely they have a big problem there now. I won't say big problem, but there is a significant erosion in the number of, corporate contracts and premium bookings that they get. And it's at least in part based on a lot of these things that we're discussing. And I'm just not sure you get that back. And I'm not sure. So then you say, well, can you get back the Richard Kerrs and the Ed Pizzas of the world one by one? And that's a lot tougher to do from a loyalty standpoint.
Oof, man, American. Number one, you said they lost the advantage. That's funny. yeah, American has significant problems. I really have been enjoying Gary and now Ben over at 1 mile at a time. I'm not really holding anything back and telling American with their own personal experiences in combination with their knowledge of the industry has pretty much put in black and white where American stands right now. That was my experience, again, being Executive Platinum 2 years ago and now as a Delta next to top tier medallion. Holy smokes, man. It's not even a competition. So I think there's a breaking point, perhaps sometime in 2019, where somebody at AA is going to get smart and recognize that we got to turn this this thing around in conjunction with whatever the economy starts to do. So, ooh, man, American. Yeah, we could do an entire hour on that right there.
Yeah, I think it's more likely to happen in American than United, and maybe that's my bias. But for most of the past 10 years, I've been at least top tier on one of the two airlines. And for most of the past 10 years, I've been top tier on both American and United. And in that case,
so
American, way too much travel, man, way too much time away from the family. But, you know, in most cases, you know, in those years, United never really had the sort of excellence that they may have had in the 10 years prior. At least I didn't see it. And so for me right now, that relationship is much more transactional. I fly United because they get me home to my family sooner, more nonstops out of my home airport. But I've seen American excel at taking care of valued customers. I've seen them excel at that customer service equation. And I feel like if there's an airline in 2019 that can up their game, and challenge Delta, it's American. You know, will they is a completely separate question, because Delta does appear to be head and shoulders above United and American in delivering that in-flight product right now.
So many thoughts and so much to say. I think it starts with a clear message. Again, if AA leadership comes out and says, we got some things wrong, but here's what our plan is, and we acknowledge that, and we're really looking forward to an exciting 2019. It's like a breath of fresh air. It's like a cool breeze coming through the room. It's like an old country porch where you sit there and the cross breeze just keeps you cool in Charleston, South Carolina. It's so needed, and I hope somebody takes that step.
I'll tell you, it's unequivocally, I know what my answer would be in 2019 if I lived a lot of other places than where I live. And it's nothing against Delta, because I do think they have a product that exceeds United and American. I get enough points. I earn enough points from my Chase Ultimate Rewards and now my American Express Gold Card and some of the other cards I hold in my wallet to be able to travel the way I want to with my family. So I look at my airline relationships more as where am I going to get the best experience, get home on time the most often, be taken care of in flight. And I got to tell you, if it wasn't Dulles as my home airport, I would be a Southwest loyalist. And I never thought I'd say that, but the front seat on Delta, American, United isn't compelling enough for me to just have the operational reliability, the friendliness, the what I believe to be transparent communications, the way that Southwest presents themselves. No question for me, if I lived in a Southwest city in 2019, I would be a Southwest customer. I'd be I would be an elite member of their program.
If I'm traveling with the family, I'm looking at Southwest first. Their route network from Atlanta is now amazing. They pretty much have taken over half of Terminal C. They fly a lot of places. I have the companion pass for 23 more days, rest in peace. And I absolutely hear you there. We get on, we sit in the exact same seats in the back row every time. We know exactly what to expect. My kids know what to expect. I've had zero delays this year on Southwest. I really enjoy their new 737s. You'll be able to get to Hawaii soon. I am right there with you. I completely hear what you're saying.
Yep. All right. Well, we've definitely gone longer than we had planned to go, and I don't want to hold you up all day. I could certainly talk about this stuff all day, but any last thoughts for our listeners as we work towards that 5 million downloads that you're looking for?
Hey, 2019 is going to be a complex year. If you're listening to this podcast, you're going in the right direction, because I want you to make informed decisions that are best for you. I also don't want you to be blinded by loyalty. I know those luggage tags are awesome. I know that badge when you log into your account is great. But if you can do something that's going to save you money, time, make you more efficient, or a little bit more comfortable somewhere else, don't be afraid to make that decision. Free agency is a wonderful thing in a lot of aspects.
Yeah, I think it is. And I'm going to leave with one more thing. Not that I don't love people listening to this podcast, but Richard was on Talking Points, the new TPG podcast, just a couple weeks ago. And he did a deep dive into Virgin's program. And I think it's a program people should be spending a bit more time learning about, especially with some of the transfer partners that they have. It's not a Swiss Army knife, in my opinion. There's definitely flaws, holes in it. But I think in terms of figuring out where to go next year, when you're done listening to this 30 minutes with Richard, I think you do yourself a service learning a bit more about Virgin and picking up that information and having it in your pocket for that next family trip that you're planning, especially if you're heading overseas.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, and take advantage now. It's not going to be here for long in 2019. The new Virgin program is coming out, so definitely take advantage now of the Flying Club program.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Richard, when you're not hanging out here with me on the podcast or hanging out down there in the greatest state in the union, as you like to say, where can folks find you?
Life in Georgia is good. Yeah, you can always find me on Facebook in the Award Travel 101 community. You can find me hanging out with the folks over at Award Wallet and then always on pointsguy.com.
All right, Richard, we'll talk to you again in 2019. Until then, safe travels. We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. While we're taking a quick break from the show, I wanted to let you know about my other podcast, the Now Boarding Podcast. It's the official boarding area podcast, and it's where we dive in and get to know each of the boarding area bloggers that you follow with a 30-minute sit-down where we go deep into how they like to travel, why they started traveling, and the sort of things that they're an expert on. Each episode focuses on one individual blogger, and we put out a new episode every Tuesday. So if you're enjoying Miles to Go and you want to find more great travel bloggers to follow along with, tune in. You can find Now Boarding on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever else you find great podcasts. Now, back to the show. Back to wrap up this week's show with the final two pennies. We're going to pick up right where Richard and I left off, which is to make sure that you've done your planning for 2019. Before all the counters were set to zero on January 1st, make sure you've buttoned up any 2018 items. You know, for example, if you have any statement credits to use up with certain credit cards for things like airline fees, make sure you've maxed out those benefits in 2018. They don't carry over to the following year, but that can sometimes be as simple as purchasing a gift card from the airline that you chose. If you're chasing hotel elite status and you plan to hit your number right on the nose, remember to check that those last-minute stays post correctly. And if you're just a few miles away from an elite tier with your favorite airline, don't leave your fate in the hands of said airline. Find a cheap flight and get the miles, segments, or dollars that you need to qualify for elite status. As we get 2019 underway, think about where you want to focus your loyalty for the year. Remember that United and American raised their requirements for elite or premier qualifying dollars, so it's now going to cost you $15,000 per year to qualify for their top tiers of elite status, 1K and executive platinum. What about hotel status? Are you better off chasing hotel status or being a free agent? Or choosing some middle ground like hotels.com where you can earn one free night for every 10 that you book. Lastly, as we get started in 2019, make sure you know why the credit cards in your wallet are there. Have your circumstances changed? Were you saving up for a big trip that you ended up taking recently? And after that trip, do your earning plans now align with whatever your next travel goal is? Bottom line here is have a plan. At the beginning of every year, I try to map out my strategy for earning throughout the year. I never get it right. Never. And, there's always twists and turns. The Iberia promo this year where you could earn 90,000 points for a few hundred dollars was an example of a left-hand turn that a lot of people took. You just want to make sure that you've got a sort of a plan of how you're getting to whatever it is you're chasing by the end of the year so you can keep track of those goals and don't come up short. You'll thank yourself later if you take just a few minutes to do the proper planning now. One last thing. We've got a new way for you to submit questions and be a part of the show. I'm really excited to try this out. If you visit our website, miles2go.boardingarea.com, you'll see an orange tab on the right-hand side of the screen labeled Send Voicemail. You can send us a voicemail with your question for us to answer on a future show. Disclaimer, we may use your voicemail on the show. You'll also see the voicemail option pop up in some of my blog posts in the future. Click away and let us help us answer those questions. That's a full wrap on this week's episode. If you have questions that I can help answer, by all means, make sure you send them in so we can make sure that we're helping you out. You can always email us at the show if you don't want to use the voicemail option, miles2gopodcast@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on Twitter or Facebook. If you're enjoying the show, I hope you'll take a moment and hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening, Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcast from. By subscribing, you'll get your episodes downloaded as soon as they're available from iTunes or wherever else. And leave us a comment and a rating. We read all those comments and they help us make the show better. By subscribing and rating the podcast, you're definitely helping us grow the audience. Thanks again for listening, and a big thanks to Richard for helping me put on a great show this week. We're already putting together a great episode for next week, but until then, we've got miles to go.